This week's parasha is a double one, Behar B'chukaisai. And we're going to discuss something at the beginning of Parashas B'chukaisai. When the Torah begins the parasha with the brachas that will befall a person that follows the chukais of Hashem, in B'chukaisai Teilechu, before, of course, going into the opposite of the Teichacha, which we will not discuss today. But we want to focus on the last pasuk right before the beginning of the Teichacha and the end of the brachas. And the pasuk says that Ani Hashem asher hoitzesi eschem eretz Mitzrayim. I am Hashem who took you out of Egypt, miyais lahem avadim, from being for them slaves, va'eshbar maitais ulchem, and I broke the yoke, the staves of the yoke, the thing that holds the yoke together. I smashed, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'oilech eschem kaimimiyus, and I made you walk erect. I made you walk straight up with a straight posture. And Rashi says on those words, v'oilech eschem kaimimiyus b'kaima zakufa. I wanted you to walk upright. I wanted you to walk straight and proud and self-assured. That's what the word kaimimios means. And I want to focus on that because obviously if this is the last word right before the Teichacha, and this is the crescendo of bracha that seems to be implying that the greatest of all things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could give to a Yid is the fact that he's able to allow a Yid to walk upright and to walk with pride. So after the Psukim describe all of the things that happen to a person who is following Hashem and he's toiling in Torah, as Rashi explains, B'chukaisai to mean, these are the brachas of Eisher, with an aleph and with an ayin, fortune and wealth, shalom, getting close to Hashem. But the ultimate bracha, the linchpin of everything is, v'eilach eschem kaimimiyus, I will make you walk upright, I will make you walk with great pride. And I believe that what the pasuk is saying is that if a person wants to live a life that's productive and that's energized and that's animated by something that is transcendent, something that is very important, and you feel that you're doing something with your life, there has to be an undercurrent of kaimimius. You have to feel a sense of pride in what you're doing. I could have a great job working for a big company, but if I'm not proud of where I'm working, if I don't have a good feeling about it, then I won't be successful. That's why in a lot of companies, there is a company culture. They make you feel like you're a part of something, and they give you a swag to wear, and t-shirts, and sweatshirts, and they want you to feel that you're a part of something larger, that you're a part of something great, because if they're able to make everybody in the company feel special and feel pride in the objective of the company, they'll have a very successful company, because that's what everybody wants. You need people that are motivated. How do you get people motivated? You have to instill a pride in them. And this happens with countries, people, every country. I mean, America, we live here, so we should feel a sense of pride and nationalism when we see the flag, when we win an Olympics game, when we win a war. There are moments that a person should feel great pride. But it's not just in America. Every country in the world that you go to, big or small, has a sense of nationalism, has a sense of we're something special. Whatever it is that makes them special, it might be something, you know, it might be wealth, it might be oil, it might be art, it might be culture. But whatever it is, something has to animate the people in that country that they feel that they're a part of something great, that there's pride in what they're doing. And this is what yeshivas try as well to cultivate, of course. You want to, you know, every yeshiva has their own, or they should have their own thing to be misguided about. Some have a great history, a storied Rosh Yeshiva that once led them or leads them currently. Some have great Talmidim, some have a great Ruach. But every yeshiva should have something that makes them feel proud of what they're doing. And if they're proud, then they're going to be happy. If they're not proud and they're thinking, well, I should have really gone to a different yeshiva, but this didn't work out for me, you're not going to be happy. A lot of times guys come to me and they're like, you know, not happy. And I said, why aren't you? Well, you know, this place is not really for me. I said, you know what? If it's not for you, then you shouldn't be here. I'm not kicking you out. But if you're not happy and proud of where you are, this is not the right place for you. Go to a different yeshiva. You think you're going to be happier there. Generally, they go to that yeshiva and then they come back. Because if they're the type that don't see happiness here, there is a good chance they're not going to find it elsewhere either. But if a person is successful, he has to wake up in the morning with a zest for life and a pride in what he's doing and where he's going and what he's accomplishing. And this is, if this is true for all the things that we just spoke about, it's certainly true for being a Yid. A Yid is a very special thing to be. It's a very, very limited membership. You know, if you feel like you're part of, you know, billions of people, so it's hard to be, you know, to feel any significance in what you are because you're just a number. Klal Yisrael is a very small group of people. It always has been and always will be. Psukim say that Hashem didn't choose us because we are the largest of all the nations, because we're the smallest of the nations. We're always teeny. The size of Eretz Yisrael on a map is microscopic. You can't even see it on some maps. It's so small. It's so almost insignificant geographically, but globally, how significant it is. And a Yid is always, there's a few million people in the world. Like, you always see these studies about, you know, what percentage of the population is Jewish and what percentage of the population of Jews win the Nobel Peace Prize or the Nobel Prize in Economics or whatever it is. Jews are vastly outnumbered in terms of their accomplishments by their numbers. It's a few million people. I don't even know the number, but maybe 15 million people. We haven't even reached the amount of people pre-Holocaust yet. This is 80, 90 years later. We still haven't reached that number. So it's a very select group of people. And of those larger group of people, there's a very small percentage of that that are from, unfortunately. And then of those people that are from, there's a very small percentage of Bnei Torah. So you might surround yourself, Baruch Hashem, with Bnei Torah, and you might see pictures of massive, you know, Lag Ba'omer, Maduras in New Square and in Satmar. But we're a very small group of people. There's not that many people. And that should be a source of pride. Like, I am one of billions of people that are zeicha to be Jewish, that are zeicha to be a Shomer Torah mitzvahs. And you have to feel that I'm proud to be a Jew. I'm proud. It's a source of pride for me. I'm not embarrassed of it. I don't wish I was born in a different, not Jewish. And boy, it would be amazing, but okay, here I am. We have to try, if we could do so, we could try to make ourselves proud of being Yidden. Proud. Not just, okay, I'm cool with it, it's okay, I came to terms with it, but I'm genuinely proud of being a Yid. V'aylech eschem kaimemios. The greatest blessing is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us an upright spine, that we walk around proudly of being the nation that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nation. V'yigba libay b'darkei Hashem. my heart is elevated. I feel a certain gaiva. And gaiva is often, you know, connected with a negative trait, like, oh, he's a bal gaiva. And gaiva is very often a very bad thing, right? The Gemara says that if a person's miskoah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds that disgusting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Ein ani v'hu yachal adar b'Yisraelim." Me and him can't fit in the same world. We can't coexist here. Gaiva is a horrible thing, but there's exceptions. Like with every midah, there's bad parts of the midah, and there's a good part. The greatest part of gaiva, the only acceptable part of gaiva, is when vayigbal liba b'darkei Hashem, when you could find a sense of pride in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when your heart is uplifted and full of and swelling with pride and with good feelings that I'm walking in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's derech. And this is something that wherever it's tried, it's successful. Whenever a person tries to instill in his yeshiva a sense of pride of who they are, it has phenomenal results. The greatest experiment in the past 150 years, in my opinion, the greatest institution in the world, I don't care if it's you throw any Jewish or Goyish institution in the mix, the greatest, most successful institution in the world was Slabodka, by far. Slabodka was a little yeshiva, it was maybe 100, 150 bachim, I don't know exactly how many it had in its prime. It was a little house. It was a house in Slabodka, right near Kovno, across the bridge from Kovno, which was a bigger city. Slabodka was a little shtetl. And Slabodka, from these 100 students, they had the head of the yeshiva, they had a Rosh Yeshiva, Moshe Mordechai Epstein, and they had the Alter from Slabodka, who didn't really have a title. He wasn't the Rosh Yeshiva, he wasn't a Mashgiach, he was just the Alter. He was the soul, the heart of the institution. And he instilled in his Talmidim a gaiva de Kedusha, as they call it. A holy gaiva, holy arrogance. And it was called Godless Adam. The Alter, if you look in his Shmuzin, we have his Shmuzin in the Beis Medrash in a sefer called Arat Safin. And every shmuz, and this is true, by the way, if you look in the Rav Huttner, his Talmud shmuzin, all the Talmidim shmuzin really focus on Adam Arishan excessively, because they believe, and it came from the Alter, that there's something called Godless Adam, that man is great. Man is the epitome of creation. Man is the purpose of it all. And that whatever you find about Adam Arishan, how Adam Arishan, who is the prototypical man, and Chazal tell us amazing things, how, you know, he was me Saifa Eilam Ad Saifa. When he lay down, his head was on one side of the universe, and his feet were on the other side of the universe. That's how massive he was, whether that means physically or spiritually or both, we don't know. And then it says also that when he was standing, his head hit the ceiling, his head hit the Shamayim. And the Gemara says that teaches you that the distance between heaven and earth is equidistant to the distance from one end of the world to the other end of the world. But that's the Godless Adam. Man is great, and you think, okay, Nebuch, you know, we're not Adam anymore. Adam Rishon was shrunk. Hineach HaKadosh Baruch Hu yad olav u'miyatai. After he sinned, and it's true, he did shrink. He's no longer as big as he was. He's no longer as beautiful, as powerful, as genius as he was. But we all have that Adam inside of us. We are Adam as well. And we have greatness beyond the ability to fathom. We use maybe 5% of our brain. And we think, I can't do this. I can't study for this test. I can't chop shir. I can't. It's only because we're not using what we have, like a Ferrari inside of in our head, and we're riding, we're using it like a tricycle. We don't understand the power that we have inside of us, the power of emotion that we have, the intellect, the ability to be creative. Man is great. And when you're filled with this pride, with this knowledge, this reality of how great I am, when somebody picks me up and says, you're great, a person can do amazing things. If you don't have pride in what you're doing, if you're like, feel you're sort of mediocre at everything and you never succeed in anything and you can't, other people are so much better than you. If you have that attitude in life, then you could be successful, but not nearly as successful as you could be if you had the chaimimius inside, if you had the pride of how great you are, how lucky you are, fortunate you are. And look at what came out of Slabodka, this small institution. Look at what came out of that. You know, you plant seeds like that and just watch it grow. Watch it grow. Rav Aaron Kotler, the Mir Rosh Yeshivas, Rav Finkel, was the Finkels come from Renaissance Tzvi, his son, the Alter son, went to the Mir and was part of building the great Mir Yeshiva. You have right down the block, Chafetz Chaim Yeshiva, founded by Rav David Leibowitz. You have Nei Yisrael in Baltimore, founded by Rav Ruderman, a very close Talmud of the Alter from Slabodka. You have Rav Yitzhak Huttner, founder of Chaim Berlin. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, founder of Tarvet. Is this like a coincidence? And the list goes on and on, by the way. I could keep on Rav Shach and Rav Avraham Elia Kaplan and many, many Gedali Yisrael around the world, in Europe, in Eretz Yisrael, the Chevron Rosh Yeshivas, they're all from Slabodka. It's all hailing from the Avram Grudzinski, we spoke about last week. The Tiras Avram was the Mashkiach of Slabodka. There was so much greatness in Slabodka. Why? How were they so successful? Imagine if we created a yeshiva, let's say an hour yeshiva, and all of a sudden, one after another, every single person that comes out of here becomes like the Gadol Hadar or the greatest surgeon or the greatest. People would want to come to our institution and figure out, like, what's in the water? What are we doing that's so special that's able to produce such greatness? And in Slabodka, it's very clear. There was one thing, and one word. It used to be Godless Adam, but for today's Shmuz, we can call it one word. Chaimimius. People walked around erect. They walked around with their heads held high, proud of what they were, proud of who they were, proud of the institution that they were in, proud of being Yidden, proud of their mission in life, each with their own unique mission. Rav Huttner did the same thing in his yeshiva. He created Rav Aaron Schechter, one type of Talmud Chacham. He created an Avraminsky Rebbe, who was like a Hasidish Rebbe, the head of the Agudas Yisrael of America. He created heads of Kirov organization, of Nayach Weinberg, Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg. He created tremendous Paiskim, the Badei HaShulchan, Rabbi Fayevel Kohn, Rabbi Hillel David. He created his son-in-law, Rabbi Yenison David, the Rosh Yeshiva Pachad Yitzchak. His daughter, Rebbetzin David, the head of BJJ. He was unbelievable. He also was able to infuse a chaimimius in his talmidim that made them feel proud of who they are, made them feel a common culture, a movement, that they were part of something larger than themselves. They had a set mission in life, and they were able to create greatness. I'll extend it also to Hasidisha, movements. Satmar does this like very well. All Hasidim, they have a Rebbe, they feel proud of the Hasidus that they're a part of, and they're animated by it. They're spending, Matzai Shabbos. Every Matzai Shabbos, they go to the Rebbe's Tish on Matzai Shabbos when their wives are cleaning up the house and doing the dishes, taking care of the children. It's amazing. It's unbelievable. They're staying and they're dancing and they're on the bleachers, and how do you feel special? You're literally one of thousands, but they each are infused with a gaiva, a gaiva de kedusha, a good gaiva. Lubavitch, look what Lubavitch does. They have a rebbe, and every person feels a shlichus. They're all shluchim of the rebbe. It could be different types of shlichus. Sometimes they're doing shlichus in some far-flung country in the world that has barely a minion, if that, but they feel pumped. I'm a Rebbe, I'm a shlich of the Rebbe. and they're able to raise a family in, you know, in the boondocks somewhere, but maintaining pride in what they're doing. They feel shluchim if they're, you know, whatever they're doing. If they're they own a store, but they're serving people and servicing people in certain ways, or they're chazanim, or they're singers. Everyone feels that they're doing a unique mission, and they walk around proudly. This is who I am. This is who I am. I was once in Gush for Shabbos. I had a friend that learned in Gush. So when I was a bachur, he invited me. I was in Kol Taira, he was in Gush, they invited me for Shabbos. It was a very interesting Shabbos. Just to get there was like, you know, it's in a very dangerous part of Eretz Yisrael, but it was a beautiful yeshiva, beautiful Shabbos. And the Rosh Yeshiva was of Aaron Lichtenstein. And he spoke in a very, very sophisticated Hebrew. His Hebrew was like not a normal Hebrew. Like, even intellectuals in Eretz Yisrael didn't understand what he was talking about. Like, you know, he was American. He wasn't Israeli. But, you know, people have that go to his shiurim, they have like dictionaries with them, like to know, like cheat sheets to know what words mean, because it's very hard. You know, he used such a high falutin Lashna Kodesh Hebrew. And he spoke Friday night by Kabbalah Shabbos, and he said, he was referring to the right or the modern orthodoxy, I'm not sure exactly what he was referring to, but he says, we have a lot to learn from Hasidim. He says, whatever you want to say about us, he says, we don't have the passion that they have. They are on fire. I think today you could say that a lot of, you know, at least the, you know, the, a lot of that has shifted, and I think a lot of modern orthodoxy and the religious right in Eretz Yisrael are also, they're on fire also. But back then it was sort of more intellectual than emotional, and he said that you have to be on fire, you have to be passionate and animated about what you're doing in your life. Because if you don't, you know, it might work for you to be very cold and you know, cerebral about things, but kids don't want that. They want to be excited, they want to feel good, they want to feel special about what they're doing. And in order for us to really infuse our chevra and our children and our families with feeling good so that the mesira can continue, it starts with us. We have to feel excited. We have to ask ourselves, am I really genuinely pumped about what I do in life? Do I feel that I'm on a special, unique, holy mission? Am I passionate about what I'm doing, where my direction is, what career choice I have? We all have to earn a parnasa. But you're lucky. You're at a stage in life that you could choose a parnasa, you could choose a profession, you could choose a career that you're actually able to get up in the morning and be somewhat excited about. And that's very important. That's kaimamiyos. That means that you have this ability to tap into the bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a yid, va'aylach eschem kaimamiyos. I want you to be proud. I don't want you just to do my avayda like a robot, or do it, you know, lazily or with very little interest and not very passionate about it. I want you to do it with a fire. I want you to find geschmack in being a yid. I want you to feel that this is such a lucky thing that I have, that I'm Jewish. What is the chances that I won the lottery by being one on a big planet of billions of people? I happen to be holding the golden ticket of being a yid. Do you feel that way? Do I feel that way? If you feel that way, then you have this bracha of kaimis, the greatest bracha in the world, because it will get you through life and you will fly. But if you don't have the bracha of kaimis, you have to work on it, because life will be so much easier and so much more fun and so much more exciting if you're actually excited about who you are and what you're doing. remember hearing a story about the famous Baron Rothschild. Baron Rothschild is a very wealthy Jew from the famed Rothschild dynasty. It's an interesting thing. He lived in Frankfurt, the original Rothschild, and he had a bunch of sons. I don't know exactly how many, four or five, I think. And they were all bright and very sophisticated. So what he did was he sent each of them to a different major city in the world. So one went to Paris, and one went to London, and one stayed in Frankfurt, and one went to somewhere else, Zurich, maybe, I don't know, different countries, maybe New York, I don't remember, I don't think so, but, and he built this massive dynasty, and each brother, each son of his, opened up their own shop, their own banking operation, and they all, sort of pooled their monies together, but they were lending money to governments. They got so large that, they were world famous. Whenever, Rothschild automatically equals money, Jewish money, Jewish power. And it's used, obviously, by anti-Semites as being, part of a very devious type of, Jewish conspiracy. But they were, a lot of them didn't stay firm, but some of them did. And one of them, his name was Baron Rothschild, I think he lived in Frankfurt. He once was riding in his beautiful golden carriage, horse-drawn carriage, and there was a Gaiish, a boy, who saw him through the carriage, and he screamed at him, "Yuda," like Jew, in a derogatory way. He was saying, calling him basically a dirty Jew, which I'm sure we've all been screamed out of passing windows of cars. I've been many times, many, many times. And he tells his driver, "Stop the carriage, stop the carriage." And he gets out of the carriage and he approaches this Gaiish boy that screamed. And the Gaiish boy didn't know, maybe he was gonna get a patch from him. He didn't know what exactly he was gonna do, but he just stood there. And Baron Rothschild took out of his pocket a golden coin. And he said, "Thank you." And he gave him the coin. And he wasn't doing that for shtick. He honestly felt that this was the greatest compliment that he could be given, that he was called a Jew. Now, I'm sure, I don't know, it might have caused this boy actually to call other people Jews in the hope of getting more gold. But it definitely makes an impression on me when I hear the story. Because he felt such pride. He didn't have to feel pride. He could have gone the way of the other people in the Rothschild family and assimilated. But he felt pride of being Jewish. He felt a pride in being Jewish. And he might have been religious, he might not, but he felt Jewish. And he felt proud of being Jewish. I just read this morning that Shaarei Tzedek Hospital in Eretz Yisrael, we all know it's in Yerushalayim, it's one of the best hospitals in Eretz Yisrael. It was founded in the 1800s. My great-great-grandfather, who was the Wurzburger Rav, together with Rav Shamsher Rafael Hirsch, who was the Rav in a different city in Germany called Frankfurt, they both collected massive amounts of money to get this hospital started. And in the hospital itself, they have a plaque for this. But I just, and then they used to live, be on Rehov Yaffa and in Yerushalayim, that was called the old Shaarei Tzedek Hospital, and then they moved to this very big campus near Beit Vegan, up from Beit Vegan. It's right near Beit HaKerem, if you know where that is. And it's a massive hospital and has very, very top-notch doctors and surgeons, and they're really, really good. And I just read today that they were given by the co-founder of WhatsApp, who is like a Ukrainian Jew, who sold his company for $19 billion to I don't know who bought it, Meta maybe, whatever, one of the big technology companies bought WhatsApp, and for $19 billion, and he gave to Shaarei Tzedek. It was just announced today. He gave, I don't know, maybe $400 million grant to build this massive, beautiful, they have pictures, massive, beautiful complex of Shaare Tzaddik, like a brand new, gleaming building. This guy, I don't think he's from. To the best of my knowledge, he's not from. Why would he do this? Why would he give $400 million? Okay, he has $19 billion. I'll give you $19 million. Let's see if you give $400 million to Shaare Tzaddik Hospital. It's easy to say you would, but like, you know, Lemaisa, it's a lot of money to give away. Why do you give it away? I don't know the answer, but I can assume that he has Jewish pride. That whatever he grew up in, however, whatever level of Yiddishkeit he feels or he has, there's something about him that feels pride. It transcends even religion. It's just, I feel fortunate to be a Yid, and that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. That's an amazing thing. Sometimes you see people that are not Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, and they have like a chai necklace on, or they have a Magen David on, or they're wearing, you know, they have something, a t-shirt that says that they affiliate with Israel, or they hang an Israeli flag out there. There's a pride in being a Yid. That's a great bracha. It transcends religion, it transcends philosophy, it transcends hashkafa. It's just, I'm proud to be a Yid. There's a story that's told about Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, who was not a Zionist in any form of the word. Well, that's not true. He was an original Zionist in the form that he was an Chayiv Beit Zion. He loved Yerushalayim, he loved Eretz Yisrael, but he wasn't in the political form. He was anti-Zionist. I think it's safe to say that. And he was once walking out of actually Shaare Tzaddik Hospital, but the old one, together with Rav Moshe Blau, or Bloy in Eretz Yisrael, they call it, who was a long time Agudah leader, also not a big Zionist. So they're walking together and they're leaving Shaare Tzaddik Hospital, and they saw a march. This is going back before the Hakamas HaMedina, before 1948. They saw a march. It was Tu B'Shvat, and a large group of mixed teenagers, boys and girls, not dressed to tzniyistik, carrying Israeli flags or some sort of flag that showed that they were Zionist, and they were singing together songs, and Reb Blau was sort of wanting to take Reb Yosef Chaim back into the hospital until this march passes, because he didn't think he would be happy about this. Like, what do you, you know, it's not tzniyistik, and it's not their brand of Yiddishkeit, and like, so he didn't want to upset him, so he was like trying to walk him back into the hospital. And Reb Yosef Chaim said, you know, what's this? Like, let me be. I'm going to stand here. And this group passed by Reb Yosef Chaim and Reb Blau, and Reb Yosef Chaim started muttering something under his breath. And Reb Blau, this is written in the biography of called Al Chamesech Yerushalayim, a biography about Reb Blau. He says that he heard Reb Yosef Chaim saying the following pasuk of Tehillim: Yosef Hashem Aleichem. Aleichem al b'neichem, Baruchem atem la'Hashem, Oise shamayim va'aretz, which means, may Hashem add upon you and your children, blessed are you to Hashem, the creator of heaven and earth. And what he meant was that he saw these teenagers as Jewish children, and he saw that they were happy, and he saw that they were proud of what they were representing. Whether it was the Medina, whether it was Zionism, whether it was Tu B'Shvat, but they had a certain sense of kaimimius. They were walking with pride. And Rabbi Yosef Chaim wasn't, you know, in any way endorsing or condoning their movement. But he was happy with the fact that Baruch Hashem, there are Jewish children that are walking in the streets of Yerushalayim proud. And that's a very important lesson for us, because we should feel this sense of pride in just simply being Jewish. It's not about religion and you identify with this movement or that. It's also very important. It's very important to feel that you identify with a certain movement, whatever the movement may be. There should be hashkafa. We shouldn't just be blasé of like, okay, I don't know what. A chassid knows what he is. I remember I heard my father used to tell me that my father used to go to a shir by Rabbi Yosher Ber Soloveitchik. I think it was on Tuesday nights in Moriah. Moriah is like a shul in the upper, somewhere in Manhattan. And it was packed every Tuesday night. It was packed to the rim with balabatim and rabbanim who came to hear Rabbi Yosher Ber give a shir. And there was a carpool from Long Beach where we lived to Manhattan. Every Tuesday, my father would go with a group of balabatim to drive to hear Rabbi Yosher Ber. And I remember he came home once and he said that Rabbi Yosher Ber said, "Ich bin mekane de Satmar Rav." He says, "I am jealous of the Satmar Rav because he knows what he wants. He knows who he is." I might be, you know, paraphrasing a little bit, but, and I don't know. Sometimes we feel like, you know, a Satmar feels Satmar. A Lubavitcher feels Lubavitch. A Chaim Berliner feels Chaim Berliner. And that's a great thing. You're part of a movement. You're part of something. If you go to Chevron Yeshiva, you meet anyone that went to Chevron Yeshiva, there's a shtolz to them. They feel, I'm a Chevroner. I'm somebody special. I heard shir from him, and I know this niggin, and we have a culture, we have a philosophy, and they feel like they're the elite. And that's a very important thing. If I could create a culture in yeshiva here, we do have a certain culture, Baruch Hashem. I'm not putting it down in any which way, and I'm very proud of our yeshiva. But if I could create like one thing, it would be like to be more mu'uchad, that we have more achdus and more commonality between us. We have so many, Baruch Hashem, so many different types, which is beautiful. And that's fine. You could create a movement with different types of people. We have to feel a common pride, a sense of pride in who we are, the institution that we have, and what we're doing and what we're accomplishing, and that's very important. It's important to be like the Hasidim and like the Misnagdim and like the Sfardim, and whoever feels a certain sense of pride. That's what Rav Avadia Yosef did to the Sfardim. He basically took a bunch of disparate people, you know, Iraqis and Syrians and Moroccans and Yemen, whoever it was, and he basically made them together into a cohesive part of Klal Yisrael. He was Machzir Atara Liyeshna. He brought the crown back to its former glory, and it was a glorious path. Sardim, you know, glorious. The Rambam and the Ramban, and so many Gedali Yisrael that we learn every single day. The Sardim are the Rashba and the, everybody, right? Kemat, everybody is Sardish. And then, you know, and throughout history, we have great Gedalim, the Rambam, and the, you know, going down to, you know, so many greats throughout history. I don't even want to like the Ben Ish Chai and the, you know, and the and Rabbi Yosef and the the Chida. Thank you. But there are so many. But you know, but for a while they were like sort of like being more tried to become misnagdim. And Rav Avadia Yosef came and said, no, we have our own Messiah. And with his brilliance and with his charisma and with his ability to be the Pesach Hadar, he brought back the pride. Besides for bringing back the Torah and the Halacha and the Messiah, he brought back the pride. Sfardim feel a certain pride. And that's an amazing thing. That is the greatest thing that you could do with anything that you're setting out to do, to have pride. I'm proud to be a Yid. I'm proud to be a Ben Taira. I'm proud to be a part of this yeshiva. I'm proud to be this type of, the community that I live in, I'm proud of. And if you feel that pride and you genuinely see the milus of things and don't always harp on the chesreinus, you will be successful in life. This is the fuel that we fill our tanks with, that everyone in the world fills their tanks with, and if they have it, they'll be successful. If they don't have it, they'll run out, the car will stall and be empty. The ability of Eilech Eschem Kaimimiyos to be full of pride, to be full of happiness. Ashreinu Matayv Chalkeinu. We're lucky. Well, the Maisa, we're lucky people. We're lucky. We have a community. We have a yeshiva. We have a Messiah. We have a path that's clear in front of us. We have a way of filling our days and our nights with something that's important, with Limudat Torah. Who could say that in the world? You look around, you know, wherever you go, you look around in an airport or in a waiting room of some sort, or a baseball game, and you feel bad for people. Like, what are you doing with your life? What are you doing all day and all night? Well, you're on video games, you're watching movies, is there anything to live for? And if a person has what to live for and a pride, that's a life worth living. That's a life that every day is rich and satisfying, and you could build a family, you could build a future, you could build communities, you could build Torah. But you have to feel godless Adam, you have to feel greatness, that I'm alive, I'm a human, I'm a Yid, I'm a Ben Torah, and life is great. And it's geschmack to be a Yid. And if you feel that, you're on fire, you're great, you're gonna be amazing in life. And if you're empty and you don't feel that, you're gonna sleep late in the mornings, you're not gonna get up, because why? You're gonna miss Seder, miss Shir, miss the Shmuz, miss Avad, miss the, for what do I need it for? I don't feel good about myself. I'm not down for this, I'm not down for that. And that's a shame. When you're young, you should be on fire. You should be like so excited to live your life and to chaperayin and to live life to the fullest, be the biggest Talmid Chacham you could be, the biggest Eved Hashem you could be, the greatest professional that you're trying to, that you're seeking, be the best in the field that you chose. Be on fire, be alive. If you're alive, you'll be successful. If you're dead, you might get through life, but for what? What's the point? And this is the spark that energizes successful people in life. This is a spark that our grandparents, our great-grandparents lived with. Being Yiddish was like their life. It was their identity. It was their everything. And Mitzvah Hashem, we have to, if we have it, Baruch Hashem. And if we don't have it, this is a goal that we have to make for ourselves to try to really focus on Jewish pride. The pride of who I am. The pride of being a member of the most exclusive group in the world that people would love to be a part of if they knew what it was. And this is something that, you know, we have, we're lucky, Baruch Hashem. It's fascinating, you know, the President of the United States enacts a thing about, you know, everyone should, all Jews should keep Shabbos next week. And it's mamish like a Mashiach Dika thing, and it sounds like, you know, it's mamish like escorting, a Yid has to feel, it takes the President of the United States to issue a proclamation for a Yid to identify that they're Yiddish and that they should keep some form of Shabbos. It's amazing. It should be amazing to us that the President of the United States' daughter decided to be a Yid. And she goes, somebody told me last night, they were in Florida, they davened in a shul that she davened in last Shavuos, I think it was, and he said that, you know, he saw her davening, and she was mamish davening with kavana. That should fill us with pride. The President of the United States and of America's daughter is Jewish, and she's a Shemeres Torah Mitzvahs, and she davens, and she, again, I'm not vouching for everything about it. This is not askam on anything she does, and I don't think she's giving me askam on anything I'm doing. But the lemaisa, it should make us stop and think, wow, like, maybe we have something that we don't realize we have. Other people see what we have, sometimes we don't see it ourselves. But this is something that, again, the final bracha of this parasha of B'chukaisa is V'eilech Eschem Kamis. Yes, you can have wealth, you can have shalom, you can have kirvas Hashem, that's great. But the linchpin to hold it all together, to make sure that you get it, to make sure that your life is worth living, is V'eilech Eschem Kamis. I will make you walk erect. I will make you walk with a certain shtaltz, with a certain pride, a certain skip in your gait, in your step, that you feel when you're alive, you feel when you're happy, you feel when you're accomplished. And Mitzvah Hashem, that's something that we have to work on. Like Rav Aaron Lichtenstein told his Talmidim, you know, and I could repeat it because I heard it firsthand, we have something that we have to work on. We have something we have to work on. We have to be more committed, more proud, more passionate about what we're doing. And not look at it as a side hustle or a part-time thing, and we have more important things, and yeah, you know, I'm doing this, but I could really be doing this. No. We have to feel on fire. This is who we are. We are Yidden. We are Bnei Torah. We are Talmidim, a Beis Medrash Talmud. And that should fill us with excitement. And if it does, then Be'ezus Hashem, we will see Paris, we will see beautiful Mishpachas, we will see Hatzlacha in our own growth, we will see Banim Uvnei Banim, Eiskim Atayra Mitzvahs, Atzayv Kaladaris, because we will be the energizer to push through Dar Acher Dar Acher Dar, this great current that will run through our generations of being able to be Va'ilach Eschem Kaimimiyas.